What's up, weirdos? I'm Chris Weir, and this is the Chris Weir Experience. And today we are on episode number 34 of The Daily Weirdo. And today we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship. What's up, guys, and welcome back to another Daily Weirdo. Like I said, today we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship. And I truly believe that to be an entrepreneur, now being an entrepreneur is a little bit different than being a professional, right? So I'm specifically talking to those who own their own business, not necessarily managers or leaders or executives. That's a little different conversation, and we have a lot of content that speaks to those levels and those positions. Today, I'm speaking specifically to entrepreneurs. And there's obviously a lot of things. Scott and I both are entrepreneurs. We both, you've owned your company now for how long?
10 years.
10 years. I'm just a little bit more than that. Years. So we're basically the same.
Isn't that crazy?
Gosh, it's crazy to think about. So we're both entrepreneurs. So we've been in it. I'm starting my second business now. So I'm back at startup, which is fun. But I really believe that there's four primary things that each entrepreneur really needs to hone in and focus on. Now, that is not to say that's all that we need to do or that's all that we need to focus on, but I believe that these four lay, as we said earlier, kind of lays the foundation,
Have to have a building analogy for me because I only understand that type of
that's
thing.
That's the architect coming out at him. So that's what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about those four things that I believe are kind of that lay the groundwork. It kind of lays the framework and the foundation for being a successful entrepreneur. Certainly doesn't guarantee it. I mean, you've actually got to be good at what you do.
That one's
kind of there.
There are some known unknowns or known knowns, right, you know, that should be in here already.
Exactly.
But once again, these are just laying a foundation of and you know, from these stem a lot of other topics.
Yeah, and it's the assumptions obviously that go in is that you don't suck at what you do.
Right.
So that's one of the big.
You have
assumptions
a gift. You have a talent for doing what you do. You love what you do, and you want to share that.
Exactly.
You want to share it with the world.
And then there's always the financial conversation that always jumps in there. So that's also an assumption is that you have figured out a way, whatever that is. Whether that is you have taken financing or you're self-financing or you're
whatever
it is that you've done, you figured out a way to cover the finances of the business. So with those assumptions in place, let's dive into my top four, what I think is the biggest four. I think number one, first and foremost, kind of plays a little bit to your talent. It kind of touches a little bit on what you actually do, the practicality of your business and getting your hands dirty. And that is innovation. If you aren't moving forward in not only your skill set, but also your service offerings, what you offer, your pricing structure, I mean, all these different elements that are around what it is that you do. If you're
once
not
again,
moving
knowing
forward,
your market, knowing where you are, what your business does, you need to keep educated in your market.
Absolutely. And by doing that, that plays in exactly what we're talking about here, is by educating yourself, you are equipping yourself with the knowledge that you need to be able to react and adapt, to evolve, to innovate what it is that you do every day. Yeah.
And the whole point about that is how can I do it better? How can I do it better than my competition? Now, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things that can be done. Once again, it's all depending on your talents, all depending on your market. It's all depending on what you do and how you do it. How can you do it better so that you can make more money? You can, I mean, once again, I might be skipping over some topics.
Not at all.
Entire, but just how do you do it better than everyone else so you can get that job?
Let me ask you this, though. That's why I love these conversations. Because number one,
they're
not
going on under the rabbit trail, are we?
No, it's not. Well, probably.
Yeah. Okay, a little bit.
I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, I mean, I love this because it's not scripted, and we literally are talking about this for the first time, and you just made me think about something, right?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. It's
sometimes
scary.
It hurts. Watch out. No, just kidding.
But you said, do it better than your competition, mm-hmm. right? I wonder, though, because I've always said that. Like, I would agree with you all the way up to this moment, and now I'm questioning myself. Is it, do we need to do it better than our competition, or do we need to, or let me rephrase that. Do we need to stay focused on doing it better than our competition, or doing it better for our client? Because could one argue, and win the argument, that if you're constantly focused on competitors and not focused on client, you're missing the mark for the client?
I'm going to say, at least in my, because I kind of saw, as soon as you started saying something, I think I know where he's going with this. But you need to do it better than your competitors, but you still need, your client is the one who's paying your bill, basically. You're doing it for the client.
Right.
But if you can do your job or the job better than your competitors, then you should be doing the job better for your client.
Well, I don't think it's the other way around.
Either or.
Is it the other way around? Because, I mean, think about that, right?
Well,
doing it better for the client, isn't that the definition of better than your competition?
I think it's one and the same, actually. I think you can't really separate them. But yeah, I mean, if you're doing a better job than your competition is for your client, then you're obviously doing a better job, or you're also doing it better than your competition.
Right.
I mean, you're getting into me into a logic problem now, which I have a 16-year-old and we're doing logic in school. So,
not so much. I think one could argue semantics, but I really think it's more mindset. Because
okay,
I think
if you're positioning yourself
thinking about your client all the time, you don't even pay attention to the competition. You're just automatically better than them. But if you're constantly focused on what your competition is doing, you're not focused on your client.
Well, but also before we said you have to have a knowledge base of what your competition is doing. Mm-hmm. In order to say, hey, are they providing the same services that I am? Are they not providing something and I am? Or am I not providing something that they do?
But then you have to evaluate that based on the client's desires and needs, right? Because
yes,
I mean, there's
yes and
bells
no.
and whistles that clients right. don't need. There's crap that businesses do for clients.
But if
that
there's
are
if there's something that they are doing that is successful,
right.
you might want to sure. say, hey, how can I do that mm-hmm. and how can I do it better? Mm-hmm. I have some architects that are giving, you know, clients 3D designs, you know,
right.
where they're big enough and they can do those in-house. For a lot of people, they don't need it. For a lot of my clients, they can see the two-dimensionality of things. They
right.
can feel that they have that mindset that they can do. Mm-hmm. For one or two of them, yeah, it would be something special to have. But why would I waste? Because once again, they charge them for it. Why would I say, unless the client needs it, yeah, then I'm going to give it to them.
Right.
But I'm not going to charge them for it up front. And that can be something of one of my selling tools, you know, when I go into a client and when I'm explaining, you know, what I do and don't do, I'm saying, hey, yeah, it's available, but if you don't need it, I'm not going to charge you for it.
Yeah.
If you understand what I'm giving you here, I'm not going to charge you for it.
And, you know, and I see that same thing in marketing all the time.
Oh, I'm sure.
You get these social media companies, these website companies, these specialty companies that I'm not getting started on that again. Yes. You can watch any of my videos
we have to get the shotgun.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. But one of the things that these guys do so much, and it's so annoying, is they just pile all this crap onto their list of things that we offer to make it look like we're doing all this stuff for you,
right.
when 70% of it is an absolute waste of time, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's silliness and it's in the way. So I think, I think you absolutely have to focus in right. on the client. When you're talking about innovation, right? Specifically right. from the standpoint of service or product offerings, right? So now on the back end, on the production side, there's considerations that may go beyond or outside of the client. But when we're talking about product or service offerings, specifically focusing on client needs mm-hmm. and client wants and innovating based on that. And then you ultimately end up outperforming your competition. I think you have to be aware, as you mentioned. I agree. I think you have to have industry awareness, market awareness. You have to know your competition. You have to know what's going on. You need to know what they're mm-hmm. doing or what they're not doing. But I think from the standpoint of planning and sitting down and innovating your products and services, right. and I think you do it very client-centric.
And I think you're right. I mean, as a better mindset than, right. hey, I need to beat them. Hey, right. I need to do the best for my client. But in the same token,
right.
when I'm doing better for my token, when I'm doing better for my client,
there you go.
I'm obviously already beating them too.
Yeah.
You know, because I am doing something better, obviously, because my client chose,
yeah.
you know, what I decided to do.
And at the end of the day, look, if you're not innovating, if you are not moving forward constantly with what mm-hmm. you're offering, you are completely creating a situation in which you are irrelevant.
Well, true.
you are truly you are boxing yourself out, right?
Right.
I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, I started talking about the 3D stuff. I think that's going to become more and more prevalent.
Yeah.
It is something that I might start having as a, you know, as a standard thing that I start giving right. because more and more people might be, quote unquote, you know, giving mm-hmm. it away. That's their sales pitch. That's
yeah.
their,
yeah.
you know, type of thing. So, yeah, I mean, you do need to innovate. You need to be self-innovative too. It's like, hey, can I do my prototypes better?
Right.
Can I do the way I work better? Can you be mm-hmm. innovative? Not exactly as, hey, you know, you're changing the industry innovative
right.
type thing.
Right.
But innovative as growth mm-hmm. as well. As
well,
how
I mean,
can
even,
how can I do my projects
absolutely.
Better? So that I can have more time to spend with my clients, that I can be more clear with my clients.
So like in marketing, 5-6 years ago, if you were my client, I was advising you against spending one penny on social media. I was constantly telling my clients, look, you can do social media. You need to do it. You certainly need to post. You need right. to engage. But you don't need to spend any ad dollars whatsoever on social media because I wasn't seeing the return because the return didn't exist. No one was really getting a return on that investment at that time. Social media is really coming into its own. It's starting to mature a little bit, and that those platforms, specifically Facebook and Instagram, have really gotten to a point where now the return is astronomical. It's through the roof.
Right, compared to cost.
Now,
right.
if I were to sit where I was 5 years ago and just say, oh, no, don't spend your money on social media, I would be doing my clients a disservice definitely. Because there is such a greater return now if you spend money on Facebook and Instagram. As a matter of fact, I advise Facebook and Instagram for some businesses, not all, but I advise that over many traditional methods that have been kind of mainstays for
right.
decades. You know, so it's certainly, and that's going to change, by the way, right? So
sooner
we
or
have
later
to
it
stay,
will. Sooner
we
or
have
later
to stay
will,
abreast
right.
to that, right? We got to right. pay attention to that. So I think the big, right. So number one's innovation, right? So
right.
I think that's number one, and that really is what's establishing and solidifying what it is that you offer, right? Services, products, whatever it is, that really kind of solidifies all that. I think the next thing is, and I've used this phrase before: movement creates movement. I think this is huge, and I tell you what, it's one lesson that I am really having to internalize now for myself. Like I'm certainly practicing what I preach at this point, right? It's a sermon that I've been yelling forever, and now I'm at startup again, right? So right. I'm at startup again, and it's like, oh, right,
I was right. Yeah, I still got to be doing something in order for me to do something else,
exactly.
or to just continue
to create.
Right.
Yeah, it's like this snowball effect, right? It's like you can roll the rock up to the top of the hill. You got to push it. Eventually, it's going to roll on its own.
Right,
but you've got to get it up there first, right? So as long as you're creating that movement and you're creating and you're coming up with, I don't want to just say things to do for the sake of things to do, but things to do for the sake of things to do. I mean, literally, if you come up to your day and in the very beginning, and again, I'm running into this now, again, at startup, there are plenty of days where you come in and your calendar is empty for the day. That's very foreign to me. I'm not used to that. Normally, my calendar's filled to the brim.
Gotcha.
I actually have days that nothing's on my calendar, which is so strange. So I could sit back and watch YouTube all day. I could sit back and just relax and not research. Do anything. Innovate. But instead, I should hop in my car and go knock on some doors, right? Introduce myself to people I haven't met before. Get myself out in whatever, right? So it's creating movement. And however it is that you can create that movement to create more movement, right?
Well, and in the same way with me, you know, still being in business for 10 years, not being a startup anymore, you know, the idea of, hey, I have projects that I need to get done, but there's some days when I'm just, you know, kind of like, I don't want to say overwhelmed,
right?
But it's just like, where do I start? Mm-hmm. Where do I start? You know, start somewhere.
Yeah.
Do something. And once you get rolling on one project, that's going to roll you into another project. Or you might start on that project and you say, what the heck am I doing? I need to get this over to the mechanical engineer, electrical engineer for this. Yeah. Just get going on something.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's cleaning up your office, organizing your office, start doing something for your job and keep moving.
Yeah.
Do not get sucked into Netflix. Do not get sucked into Hulu. I'm just saying that to myself right now too.
But, well, it is. It's so easy.
Sometimes it's that way.
It's like, oh, it's so easy.
Yeah, I don't have anything much to do till I can get that done later. No, just do it now. Just
and especially those of us, like for instance, right now, starting out, I've started this second company in my garage. You work out of your garage as well. There's many of us that do that. I think that, I don't want to say, well, no, temptation, the tendency,
the
bad habit of getting pulled into things other than what we should be doing for work, it's so 100%. Much greater. It's so much greater when you work from home, I guess, right?
Exactly.
So I think movement is if you ever come up on a day, and this is for me. I'm telling you what I'm doing. You know, when I come up on a day where either my calendar is empty or I'm light on production, I've gotten caught up in production, which is a miracle when that happens. But if I happen to be caught up in production, it does happen sometimes. I need to come up with something. Get in the car, go meet somebody, rearrange the office, clean up the office, clean the equipment. You know, I've got plenty of equipment that needs to be cleaned. Whatever it is, if you're making movement, be smart about it. Don't come in every single day and say, I'm going to clean my office again today. Okay, now you're hiding, right? But I mean, you know, be smart about it. But obviously, create that movement. Make movement happen, and you will create more movement. Right. And it's the weirdest daggone thing. It's the weirdest thing how it works, but it really does work.
Or contact someone. Hey, you know, like for me, contact a contractor. Call a contractor. Hey, what do you have going on?
Network.
Put some feelers out, you know, there. Say, hey, I'm still out here. Yeah, I'm busy, but I could take, you know, I'm going to get to that point where I need a few more jobs.
Yeah.
You know, in marketing. Hey, do some of those calls.
Yeah.
You know, go to some of those doors. Excuse me.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Sorry. But, yeah, I mean, once again,
do
movement
something.
Creates movement. Because you're all, I think you're going to be surprised about where jobs sometimes come from when you're just moving.
Yeah.
And you're doing something. Because listen, these things aren't just going to magically come to you.
Yeah.
They're not just going to find you, you know, beam of light shining down, end of the rainbow type of thing. You need to get boots on the ground.
Every action has a reaction. Not every reaction has an action, right?
That was beautiful.
There's the quote.
That was beautiful.
Yes. So then the next focus, number three, is a phrase that I was taught in high school by one of my teachers. Danny Coggin, I'll never forget him. He probably one of the most influential teachers that I've ever had. But he always used this phrase called intestinal fortitude. Most people have heard of it, but not most high school students,
probably,
right?
Probably not anymore.
So this was something that was that was introduced to me when I was in high school, intestinal fortitude, and I fell in love with it then. And I'm still in love with it today. And so much so, I think it's the number three focus that entrepreneurs need to have is intestinal fortitude. And it's one of these concepts, you know, within intestinal fortitude, you know, we've talked about it before. Part of being an entrepreneur is deploying patience. It's eating the shit for the time that you have to get through that, get to the other side of it. That's kind of intestinal fortitude. You get your butt kicked, you get knocked down, you stand back up.
You get back up again.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's that whole gusto about yourself that it's confidence in your ability. It's confidence in your product or service that you are wanting to provide. It's confidence in your business. And it just comes from a place of, I'm just not going to be held down.
Well, and at the same point too, you know, it's, you know, when they talk about the jungle and all, hey, you know, don't show them fear. Don't show them fear. A client's going to notice if you're not confident. Yeah. A client's going to notice if you're not sure of yourself. Mm-hmm. A client's going to notice these things, you know, if you don't have that intestinal fortitude, if you don't have the, I want to say moxie, to be proud of what you do. I mean, there's a reason why you're an entrepreneur. Yeah. You obviously believe in yourself enough that you are going to put yourself out there, you know, no hold bars.
If you get your butt kicked, which by the way is going to happen.
It will happen.
It's not when. It's when.
It's when, exactly.
Because you will. I mean, you will absolutely get knocked on your butt a couple times. You're definitely going to be eating shit. There's no avoiding it, okay? So understanding that and knowing that that's coming, if you experience that negative situation, and you become a whiny baby. You become a crybaby, right? You start whining, oh, woe is me. The world is against me. And again, I am preaching to myself, because I have been there.
A lot of these little things are from what we have known.
Well, look, it's called the Chris Weir experience for a reason, right? It's because
what you've experienced. It could be the Scott Wunderlich experience. It could be the Joe Schmo
experience.
It's
your experience, right?
It's the, hey, you guy watching, you know,
their
at-home experience.
So if you sit back and just whine and become the victim, right? You pull out the victim card. That's the exact opposite of intestinal fortitude, right? Intestinal fortitude says, rip the victim card up and throw it away, because screw being a victim. I am going to stand back up, and I'm going to go right back after whatever it was.
I want to start singing that Gladys Knight song, like, I will survive. I mean, type thing, sorry.
Oh, see, I was thinking Tony Robbins, but you know, we can see where we're at.
Music moves me, what can I say? But it is one of the things of, you know, not only do you get back up, but you learn from it.
Right.
What can I take from this?
True.
That's the biggest thing. What happened? You got to analyze this thing. What happened? How did this happen? Yeah. How can I keep it from happening again?
Right.
You know, and, you know, I always joke about my proposal when I started out 10 years ago. It was like a 2-page, you know, proposal. It is now 6 pages. Because I have gotten my butt kicked.
Oh, your contract.
My contract.
Proposal contract.
You know, type of thing. Because I've gotten my butt kicked.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to protect myself here. Hey, I need to protect the client here from the contractor.
Right.
Hey, I need to protect the contractor from a client. Mm-hmm. I need to protect my time. Hey, this contract allows you X many meetings, you know, and it's up to me to decide if we need more meetings. Some clients look at that like, oh, what are you doing limiting my meetings? I was like, you know what? I've never had to use that clause because I put it in there after, you know, I had a needy client and it was just way too much.
Yeah.
But I also learned how to listen better. I have learned some other skills that hasn't have to happen.
Right
now too. So
and you're not going to get those. Morning. You're not going to pick up on those, you know, and it everything ties together. And I believe that. So what you've done is you've innovated, right?
In your contract side.
Because you had the ability to sit down instead of playing the victim card, you learned from it.
I moved on what I learned. And that movement created extra movement, which now I don't have to deal with that problem anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I still have to deal with the problems, but they're at least manageable.
Right.
You know?
And you've put safeguards in place
to
at least help. Right. I mean, obviously you can't eliminate everything. But that's the thing. I mean, again, it's like it's all of this stuff is connected, which brings us down to the number four point or the number four focus that I think is a great kind of it connects the rest of these, right?
Oh.
And it's the phrase optimize the equalizer, right? The one equalizer in business, right? I mean, let's there's always going to be most likely or not always. There's at least going to be a point, right? Somebody's better than you. I know in marketing there's always somebody better than me. Always. Somebody has got a better idea, whatever. Not to say that I don't ever have good ideas. I don't want to like don't suck at this or anything, but I'm just saying, right? There are a lot of great people. There are architects that just they outperform. Well, for whatever reason, you beat them, right? Or they beat you for whatever reason, right? So when we're talking about Equalizer, right? So there, from a performance standpoint, there's always going to be someone that is there's either nipping someone, at your heels.
There's
or
always
a little
someone
bit
faster, quicker, exactly, quicker on the draw
for whatever. The,
I'm thinking of all my old cowboy movies.
No, absolutely, type of thing. Right. So there's always that, right? There's always a prettier office. There's always a bigger staff. There's always more production tools. Yada 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 yada. Right. There's always something, but all of those things, let's say, become equal. Right? The one thing that we have that we can actually, like even small businesses, right? And this is the thing that I preach and preach to preach to small businesses who come to me, like, oh, well, Walmart's moved in. I can't compete with Walmart. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Because the one equalizer that we all have to deal with that nobody can produce more of than anybody else, we are all dealt the exact same hand. It's time. That's it.
True.
We all have 24 hours in a day. That's it. Nobody has more than you. Nobody has less than you. We are all equal in time. So then we have to optimize that. Time is the equalizer. Then we have to optimize it, especially as entrepreneurs, especially as small businesses. We have to be so good at every single minute. We have to optimize every single second, every single message that we send out, every single piece of work that we do.
Appreciate
we have to be.
I'm sorry. You were there, man. You were. I was just, let him go.
Well,
let
thank him go. You interrupted me and stopped me. But,
no problem.
I'm just kidding.
High five. But anyway.
But that's the, so, you know, some things that we've talked about in the past, time blocking, right? That's something that I have deployed in the past.
And you actually taught
me
some of that, and it really helped me out, too.
So what is it that you've started doing?
Well, I mean, for me, it's just, you know, it's actually just setting up my day on my standard calendar, saying, hey, these are the things that I need to get done. This is how many hours I think it's going to need, you know, for each item. Is it something that can move to tomorrow? Does it need to get done today?
Right.
And I basically put an hour thing to it, and then I rank them in order, you know, that needs to get done. I've also optimized my time by trying to set meetings on specific days, so that I might have a production day. Because I found, hey, if I schedule a meeting on every day, all of a sudden I have an hour to an hour and a half time of just drive time that I'm losing out on.
Yeah.
But if I know that day I'm going to be driving anyway, then I can. I'm not surprised by the lack of production time somewhere else.
Because it's not a production day.
Now, are things going to happen? Are monkeys wrenches going to be thrown in the works and all that? Yes, always. That's going to happen. But you can at least plan your day to use the best to create as much movement and to innovate however you want to time block your day.
Yeah. Let me talk to the entrepreneurs specifically who have to do sales. Right.
Sales
and production are a little
different,
right? So production, like what Scott was just talking, Scott and I both were just kind of talking about, and I agree. I do that same deal. Well, again, we kind of talked through that on what I did for production, and our industries are pretty similar from a production standpoint, at least in that respect. So it works. Sales is a little bit different animal. You really have to, when you deploy time blocking for sales, you really have to guard that time and guard that calendar. You can't let things interrupt that. If Tuesdays between 9 and 11 are my call times, right, where I'm going to sit down and I'm going to put a couple of power hours together and I'm just going to make phone calls and that's all that I'm going to do, I need to guard that time like it's my child. I can't let anything come in and interrupt that, because the second you allow things to interrupt your sales activities, you're going to start getting in a lot of trouble. It's going to filter all the way down. Sales is income. You don't mess with income. You don't mess with income, right? So you have to block that time. You have to, and again, let me stress, I'm preaching to myself. Okay. So I am not speaking from the standpoint of, listen to me, I'm up on my high horse here and I don't ever screw this up. Malarkey. I screw this up all the time. I'm preaching it because what I have been able to see over my 20-year career is that when I don't guard my sales time like it's my child, I suffer every time. Every single time. It never fails.
And once again, it's just kind of like the same thing with the intestinal fortitude. Sometimes you kick your own ass because you make your own mistakes. And you have to get up. Okay, that happened. How can I do it again? Get back on the horse. Get back moving again. Because, you know, his sales is kind of like my production. I need time to produce my drawings that go into construction documents.
Sure.
But, I mean, you're right. If I let too much get in that way of things, then all of a sudden, hey, where did that 2 hours go? I needed that 2 hours to finish my electrical engineering or mechanical or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you have to guard that time. Mm-hmm. If you can, set those meetings for your schedule. If you can, you know, I try when I set meetings, you know, I'll do the, you know, tour de Phoenix, you know, going up to Mesa, then up to Tempe, then over to Gilbert, then back down to Anthem, and then back home type thing.
You know? Absolutely.
You know, try to do that. And then you have to, then there's other tricks too. You have to get all that information down and out so you don't forget anything from the meetings and all that. But just organize your time, because once you organize your time, you're going to find out how much time you actually have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all this other stuff works, right?
Right.
All these other things that we've talked about, this kind of just is like the bowl that all this sits in. Is if you don't have proper time management, really all of this other stuff doesn't matter.
Well, true.
I mean, you can be innovative, but if you don't allot the time.
But if you're spending too much time being innovative and not taking care of your client,
Exactly.
I mean, yes, you have to analyze how you do things and all that, but you still have to take care of the client.
Yeah, that's right.
You still have to create movement. You still have to.
You have to do your sales. You have to go out there and meet new people. You have to network. You've got to do those things, or it's never going to happen. So just to summarize, again, we talked about today kind of the what I believe to be the four focuses of entrepreneurship. And number one, it's innovation with your products or service offerings. And I don't want to say just products and services, because obviously there's innovation in production and there's innovation in contracts and
like
administrative.
There's external innovation and internal innovation.
Exactly. That's good. So. Yeah, absolutely. So, number one, you have to be innovative. If you are not being innovative, you are, again, creating a scenario in which you're irrelevant. Number two, you have to create movement. Movement, when you create it, will create more movement, which will create more movement, which will create more movement, and on and on. You have to be doing something. I didn't mention this earlier, but this is the same teacher in high school. I almost called him professor. The same teacher in high school, Danny Coggin. He used to talk about pond scum, and he would constantly tell us to not be pond scum, because you know a pond when it just sits. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't see that much out here in Arizona.
No, we
Tennessee, pond? This is very common. Right. In Tennessee, this was very common. We have a lot of ponds, right? And when a pond sits, all the crap just builds up
algae
on top.
And all
the algae, what is the yellow stuff? I've been gone so long. Pollen. All the mess just settles right on top of it, right? And it just becomes scum. It's just like pond scum. But the second you take a rock and skip it across the pond, all of it gets stirred back up, and it's gone, and there's no pond scum. So in order to not allow pond scum, you have to have movement. You've got to shake
things
up.
Seriously, we
got to
do some T-shirts, man. We got to do some T-shirts.
That one, I got to give full credit to Danny Coggin, though. That one's not mine. That was his, is the pond scum
speech. Don't be pond scum.
Yeah, don't be pond scum. That we literally used to say that all the time, is don't be pond scum. But anyway, so that's movement, right? So first, you got to be innovative. Second, you've got to make sure you're creating movement on a consistent basis. Third is deploy intestinal fortitude. Know that you're going to have to eat shit. Know that you're going to have bad days. Know that you're going to get your butt kicked down. You're going to be on the ground. You're going to have to get yourself back up. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and know that. You've got to be tough. Mentally, you've got to be tough. Professionally, know it, because it's coming. Nobody avoids it, right? So deploy your intestinal fortitude. And then finally, the fourth point to kind of button all of this up, really, is just managing your time. It's optimizing that equalizer that exists amongst all of us, which is time. 24 hours. We've all got it.
Yep.
Optimize it. Make the most of it. Some of us use more of the 24 hours than others. Some of us work 12 and 14 hour days. Some work 8. Some work 4, right? But if all you're doing is working four, don't complain because the person that's working 10 is kicking your butt, right? Optimize the equalizer, right? I'm not saying that you shouldn't work 4 hours. If you work 4 hours and you're happy, go for it, because happiness is key. But don't complain. Right. Don't work 4 hours and then complain somebody's outperforming you.
And that, once again, getting those innovations in where you don't take up as much time, you know, blocking, it makes so much more sense. If you can organize all of that, if you organize your time, how much time you actually have to do things.
Yeah. That's all. Final thought?
Final thought.
Guys, thanks so much.
Again,
we appreciate you tuning in. I hope this helps somebody.
It helped me.
Good.
It helps me.
Well, it helps me. That's the thing. I know I was just closing, but now I'm not going to close, and I'm going to step back in, and then I'll close again. Thank you.
I got him one more time.
You did, and you'll do that every once in a while.
Do this all night. No, just kidding.
But that's the crazy thing about it, right, is, and I think that's the, again, another reason that I love these so much, is that everything that I'm talking about today is not me lecturing. It's not Scott lecturing. We're not sitting on some kind of freaking high horse thinking that we got this stuff
figured
out.
We got this all done. Yes. You know,
we're talking to you about the stuff that we screw up every single day. And because we've just been doing it so long, I mean, a little over 20. God. And it's depressing to even think about. It's not depressing. Well, it's actually really exciting to think about how long that I have been in business, how long I've owned my own company, and how many things I've been exposed to and how many things I've screwed up through the years.
Oh.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love the fact that I've screwed things up and learned from them. Now, if I screwed stuff up and didn't learn, then that would be a bad thing.
Right.
So, again, that's what all of this is. It's just sharing all of my screw-ups, my successes, your screw-ups, your successes, and we all kind of just share and learn from each other and help each other, and we all hopefully move forward, right?
Right.
That's the goal.
And once again, if you can get a business mentor, even just a guy that's in business, maybe not even in your same business, that you can just talk to and bounce ideas off of,
yeah,
that also creates that movement, because then you're not just rolling around in your own head.
And maybe, you know, a mentor, sure. I generally lean against mentors, but at least confidant, at least someone that,
I mean, maybe not
like what you and I are to each other, right? I mean, we just kind of we're each other's kind of, we just bounce things off of each other. We just talk through things and, hey, I've got this idea, Chris, that was absolutely stupid. What are you thinking about? And that, oh, okay, you're right. Okay. Yeah. So, and that happens. So, I mean, but that's the thing. I mean, absolutely. I think find your Scott and you'll be good to go. There's the next one, is find your Scott. That's t-shirt.
I'm on sale for $19.95. No, just kidding.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. And we'll see you on the next Daily Weirdo.